This American Life is produced out of Chicago, which made me wonder, Ira, is there anything particular about Chicago that makes it a good home for a show like This American Life?
The thing that's actually wonderful about Chicago is that it sounds like the rest of the country. I actually really love New York and would love to live in New York, for example. But when you're a documentary producer, if you're in New York, everybody always just sounds like a New Yorker. Whereas in Chicago, it feels like you could be kind of anywhere.
And where are you from?
From Baltimore.
You grew up in Baltimore.
And proud of it.
There's certain similarities, I think, between Baltimore and Chicago. Do you feel
like... Oh, my God, right, Rudy, it's sort of like if Baltimore's the single, Chicago's the LP. You know, just like everything that existed in Baltimore when I was a kid exists here, but there is more of it. Individual sort of very odd ethnic neighborhoods. There's a certain kind of restaurant that we would go to all the time when I was a kid in Baltimore that, in fact, I was at one just like it last night, a place called Biasetti's, up on Irving Park Road here in Chicago, which is just like crimson wallpaper, waitresses with big hair, you know, a menu which has stayed the same since, I'm told by friends who grew up here, since at least 1960. It's so Baltimore. I just love that.
Is there anything you particularly don't like about Chicago?
You know, one of the things actually I kind of like, which a lot of people complain about, is the weather, because it's so crazily extreme. It's so cold and it's so windy that you actually feel like you're in a sort of epic place where something big is happening, and it gives a feeling of importance to everything. What don't I like? I mean, my problem is more that since starting this show, I and my staff, we work so many hours, it's almost like we could be doing the show from the Mir space station.
Well, where else do you travel to when you travel personally to, say, find America?
I mean, I'm a bad leisure traveler. This is something I was thinking about, actually, thinking about coming on the show, in that I travel well for work, and kind of in my job doing reporting, I feel like I get to get a lot of the things that people get from travel, you know, simply like within my own city. That is, I get to meet other people and experience other lives, and like all the things that kind of you want from travel to transport you into another world, I can get right here at home just by doing my job. What happens when I actually try to travel for leisure is I go into a kind of weird panic where I don't know, am I supposed to be relaxing and doing nothing, or am I supposed to be gathering information and having new experiences? Like 3 weeks ago, the show took a week hiatus, we did a rerun, and I drove around the Southwest near the Four Corners, and I'd never been there. It was completely spectacular, but literally every day I was like in a kind of crisis of, is it okay to just like sit around and read the paper, or do I have to go out and drive another 300 miles today and look at big rock formations? Rudy, is this a common problem? Can you give me advice, actually?
The first observation is you've been working too hard, Ira. The second is, yes, for a journalist it is, because I travel so much as a journalist, too, that I have a focus when I travel, even if it's an exotic place. I know why I'm there, and I love that focus because it forces me to interact with local folks. I'm not just sitting in a hotel by a pool. When I have to sit in a hotel by a pool, I feel vaguely guilty, and like I like you, find it difficult to relax.
But isn't it a common thing, like, okay, you travel like 3,000 miles to get somewhere, and then you feel like, well, I should be seeing things,
right?
You know, like, but yet this is the only week off you're going to get the entire year.
Exactly. Some people kill themselves on holidays. They go to Italy and try to eat all the pasta, see all the sights, get no sleep, and come back exhausted. And they could have done that in Chicago. There's lots of pasta in Chicago. You know, there are resorts in the States. It's a lot closer, and you don't have to kill yourself. I'm talking with Ira Glass, host of This American Life. Ira, occasionally you take the show on the road. Do you find traveling frustrating?
No. I mean, I especially like in traveling, actually, the transitional times. That is, the times when you're on an airplane and you literally cannot do anything but be on the airplane. You know, you are neither where you're supposed to be nor where you were, and you're in this kind of neutral space where you get a little break.
And what is coming home to Chicago like for you after you've been on the road for, say, a week?
Well, one of the things that I really like, actually, is because of the way the flight paths into O'Hare work, you can see your own street, or I can see my own street when I fly in, which no matter how many times I've done it, I mean, I've lived here for almost 10 years now, no matter how many times I've done it, is continually like I can't get enough of it. I heard somebody on the radio a couple of weeks ago talk about this very experience and say that even for pilots, that this is apparently just a very profound thing of what it means to fly over a place that you actually live. And I love that. I completely love that. And then O'Hare itself is the city of Chicago at its most city of Chicago, where, you know, it's both completely functional and completely corrupt at the same time. Like, who chose these vendors to be the ones to sell their goods in this place? You just get the feeling of, like, payola happening in some grand way that we will never find out, and it's just not meant for us to know.
What have you discovered about this American life through travel, Ira?
It's funny because the kind of things that interest me and the kind of reporting that we tend to do in the radio show tend to be things about people's lives that are so personal and sometimes in a certain way interior, you know, like things that people are trying to achieve and whether they achieve them or not, or just things that are so personal that that they aren't dependent on place as much. So I haven't had the kind of revelations, I think, that come to a different kind of writer or reporter that can come from being in different kinds of settings. I don't feel drawn to the exotic. Like, there's nothing, things don't seem exotic to me. Things either seem sort of compellingly magnetic or not. But I have to tell you, like, one place I am dying to go to is Japan.
Why?
Because it seems like the most compelling mix of something that is entirely familiar, that is an industrial consumer culture with the look and feel of our own, and something entirely unfamiliar, which is its sheer Japanese-ness, which seems very essentially un-American. Though I've never taken the first step to going there, which shows you the kind of traveler I am.
Now, is that because you're too busy?
It's because I'm busy, and it's because I never think about traveling. I never think about, oh, I'd like to go here or go there.
You know, that's weird.
Is that true?
Yeah, that's weird, because most people fantasize about going somewhere.
I don't mean to shock you with this
observation, but it's true, I think.
I've never had that feeling.
Well, go ahead.
I mean,
give yourself over to it if you'd like. Go to Japan. This Japanese life
actually
coming soon near you.
I mean, I guess I'm trying to think, I feel sort of defensive now. I feel like, well, I know I have something that's just as big and important as that takes the place of that. And I'm trying to think of, well, what is it?
Ira, I want you to give yourself permission to visit Japan.
There's a part of me where I feel like I just want to say, I don't need Japan. I can go to the West Side, you know? And if it isn't here in Chicago, by God, it's in Wisconsin.
Ira Glass is host of the public radio show This American Life. Thanks for joining us today, Ira.
Thank you for having me. I feel like I'm the most anti-travel guest. I didn't enter this conversation thinking, God, I don't really know anything or have anything to say about travel. I've never conceived of myself as the anti-travel person until this moment, and I realize, I feel like I've suddenly turned into, the anti-guest for your show.